Don't stare at it.
All right.
Getting a little dizzy here.
All right. Well, we are live, but I'm trying to Oh, here we go. Okay. Just put it up. Them Bones.
Yes. Good song, right. Brother.
Yeah, Alice in Chains, Them Bones from Dirt from 1992. The late Layne Staley. Rest in peace. Let me get this goofy all-seeing eye fiat currency. Well, not fiat, but, you know,
oh, printed,
never-ending printing press currency.
It is and fiat, yes. You're right.
Okay.
You know, every time they print one of those, and give it to someone else, they take it out of your savings. You know that, right? Through inflation.
Explain.
Oh, well, let's just say that there's X amount of dollars in this world, and yes, I own 50 of those. Let's say there's $100 in the world, and I own 50 of those. That means I own half of the world. They print another $100. Now I only own 20% of, or 25% of the world. They just stole half my wealth by creating more fiat. I think Franco could talk more on that than I can, but that's kind of the gist.
Picking that up for me, Jay. I did a lot of financial stuff yesterday. Thanks for giving my brain a break, brother.
that's the basically the gist of how it works. You know, you save $20 today, it buys you $10 worth of stuff tomorrow. What happened to the other $10 of your time? It's gone.
We always say this.
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying,
That's my bush. Anyway,
I remember that show.
The very, very short That's My Bush, where George W. Bush had to fight with his neighbors and stuff over lawn care, things like that. It was on Comedy Central, and then 9/11 happened, and we couldn't joke about W anymore. Anyway, welcome to Digging Chris Graves. Big special thanks to to those out there that give a shit about me, and I think you know who you are, including the people here, and I really appreciate all you fine folks, and here we are again. I invited Mr. Angry Tiger and Mr. Jason Barker to talk about some, you know, just a couple of different type of things, you know, maybe a couple little pop culture things here and there. And also Jason has a great idea for a show coming up that we're going to do next week. Jason, you want to, well, both of you, welcome. And how you guys doing?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing great. It's good to see you on. Looks like you're doing good in your computer. You got a new rig from what I hear, right?
Yes,
it's looking good. The camera quality is much better than the old one. So looking great, man.
It's not the background. Well, I still got the shag carpet in the 70s.
Well, you got your 20-cent dollar store flair to make this, you know, an AJ flair.
I got my flair, yeah. You're going to have to do something about your flair. You know, that was Mike Judge, by the way. That was Beavis and Butthead right there, and the same guy. And he actually directed Office Space, too. We're going to have to do something about your flair. Anyway. So, Jason, tell everyone, Mr. Angry Tiger, how are you doing, too?
I'm fabulous. I'm here on Digging Chris Graves, dude. I couldn't be doing better.
Thank you. Jason, so you had this great idea for a musical show coming up next week. Why don't you tell all the folks out there what to possibly expect?
Yeah, so not this Thursday, because this Thursday is going to be Thanksgiving, but the following Thursday, Mr. Chris Graves is going to come on. Audi from Modern Retro Radio will be on, and then Gardner Goldsmith will be on. And they're all kind of like pop culture slash music buffs. Yeah. Me, not so much. I like music, but I don't know the history and background. But you got to tap into these great minds and make a good show out of it, right? So yeah. What we're going to do, we're going to do it's not so much a call-in show, but more of like a chat-in show. So they're going to play like a Stump the Chump. What is it? Name That Tune.
Yeah.
They're each going to pick about 3 to 4 different songs, and they're going to have a backstory behind it and little hints and stuff. And we're going to play like 3 notes from the song and let people from our respective chats, because we're going to multi-stream it. So Chris will have it on his chat. Guard will have it on his 2 chats or whatever. I'll have it on mine. And so we'll let people kind of jump in and guess. I got the idea from The Elevator from Hell, which is that was the thing they used to do on KC95. It was a classic rock station in St. Louis back in the, well, I think it's still there, but they play more like grunge now. But back in the day, they would do this Elevator from Hell where they'd have like this elevator version of like Alice Cooper, you know, something. Yeah. And then people would call in and try to guess it. And believe it or not, it was pretty difficult. But we're going to play the actual music. Maybe I'll do a karaoke version or something with no words.
Right.
3 or 4 notes. Let people guess it as they're, you know, we're waiting for that delay over the, because there's a 20-second delay or so between chat and what we're doing. We'll drop little hints. And then, I don't know, we'll give some booyah booyahs out for rewards or something, you know.
Booyah.
Booyah.
And then we'll talk, after each guest, we'll talk about the history behind the artist or, you know, a story or whatever that goes along with it. So.
Oh, that's great.
That sounds great. Awesome, Jay.
Yeah. The Elevator from Hell.
Yeah, that was a great one, man. I don't know if they still do it or not, but it was awesome.
Well, anyway, I'm basically lately I've been trying to get into more of the entertainment and less conspiracy stuff. What are some of your favorite feature films, guys? You're like, oh god!
I just watched the Back to the Future trilogy last night.
Okay.
I told you I was watching it a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Well, I paused it about 2/3 the way through the first. And I watched the rest of it. And spoiler alert, I'm gonna crush your dreams, man. I caught some mistakes in the film. I'm sorry. Ugh. Yep. I love it. But check it out. Remember when they pulled in the third one, they pulled the DeLorean out of the tunnel?
The old Delgado mine.
Yeah. And the tires were like shredded off of the front rims.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. I caught it when they put it in front of the train. They used the old white wall tires to buffer it, and there was 4 tires.
Oh, back in 1955, the doc from 55 had that, and he put it on to send Marty back to 1885. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right, but there was 4 tires there. But if you look when they pulled it out of the cave, there was like at least one of the tires was gone. So I don't know. I'm a continuity guy. They did pretty good with that film series. I was trying to pick it apart. There was one other thing I caught on it. When they dropped the DeLorean onto the tracks,
yeah,
the part they had it on had some square metal extruded tubing, which would not have been possible in those days, you know. You're talking blacksmith era. But anyway, I do love that. That's probably one of my favorite trilogies.
Nice.
Back to the Future. Anyway,
but I got to say though, if you look at all 3 in a contained thing, and we talked about this, how like we had to think about it, and you said there was 4 DeLoreans at the same time point
in Back to the Future Part 2. At a certain point in the movie, when they go back into the first movie, back to 1955 to stop Biff, old Biff from 2015. Now follow me, folks. They're going back to try to stop Biff from giving him his younger self the Gray's Sports Almanac, which is what makes Biff become like Donald Trump, basically, in the alternate 1985, where he's like a Donald Trump like monster with the hotel and everything, and he's all corrupt and everything. Even the screenwriter said they based that on Donald Trump of the 1980s. So anyway, yeah, there's a certain point in time where if you use the movie logic, and Franco, tell me if I'm putting you to sleep with all this shit.
No, you're good, dude. You're good. I'm listening.
The same DeLorean is there in the same space and time, but by four. Because yep. you look at the DeLorean that old Biff stole from 2015 to go back to 1955 to give him his teenage self the sports almanac. That's one. Then you got the DeLorean that Marty and Doc go to 1955 to stop him in. That's two. Then you got the DeLorean from the first movie that Doc is fixing to set up the clock tower and the lightning to send Marty back to 1985 in the first movie. So that's three. And the final one is the DeLorean that Doc buried in the mine for them to uncover 70 years later at the beginning of Back to the Future Part 3. And I just hurt my own brain just trying to explain that.
I just watched it last night, and that's probably why I'm so critical about everything in the movie, because I was trying to pick that apart to see if you were right. But you were right. There were four DeLoreans.
You cause a dent in the oldest one that was buried in the mine. Theoretically, in fictional terms, that same dent should have popped up on all four of them in 1955 at the same time.
Okay.
You've got an eye for the body dents, I see.
I did notice in the last movie, the over the passenger side, has two lights per side on the DeLorean. Over the passenger side, there was a dent like above the lights. And they were very good, because a lot of times you'll see, like on Dukes of Hazzard, when they just crash a bunch of cars and crap, one will jump and fenders will be crumpled up, and the next scene it's like perfect, right? They made sure that dent was in every single shot, that same dent in the same spot. And I'm sure they didn't use the same car for every scene,
They had stunt cars.
Made sure that little, if you look at it, just over the passenger side, right between the two headlights there on the passenger side, there's a little ding in the hood. It's on every single thing. And I'm telling you, you had my brain tickled when I was like, I got to see if there's really four DeLoreans here. Well, so I watched.
You know what?
Yeah.
In that stainless steel body, because it's not painted, it's stainless steel. You really can't fix that dent.
No,
there's nothing you can do. If you try to pop it out, you're going to see a high spot or whatever, because it's really stiff metal. So that's the bad thing about a DeLorean. When they get dented, they stay dented.
Have you had any experience with a DeLoreans, Franco?
I have not, thank goodness, because I'm not trying to pick on anything, but they're junk.
That's what I've heard. Yeah,
they're junk. They're slow. The engine.
It was a small four cylinder supercharged or turbocharged. That was what it was, right? Like really underpowered, but they tried to turbo it up.
Yeah, and it was still like driving around a boat anchor. Hey, Chris, we got Karen Carpenter. We got Pat the Plumber. We've got Rhonda Tate. We have Harlan Stonewall, and we have Audi MMR. Audi, he's our buddy. All in the chat, bro.
Hey, Pat the Plumber. Yeah, everybody. Wow. Hey,
I'm gonna jump in there.
Yeah.
Nice. So Tiger, top five Westerns.
Oh man. Fistful of Dynamite, number one. Once Upon a Time in the West, number two. No Name on the Bullet with Audie Murphy, number three. Let me think here, dude. There's what's the guy's name? He's an old
Any
dude.
In the Dollar Trilogy?
Any of the what?
Any from the Dollar Trilogy?
What? Yeah, I'm forgetting about those, right? Because I'm real old school. I would have to say, dude, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah. Yes.
Falls into that one. And then for number five, what's his name? Something Scott, Rudolph Scott or something like that. I can't remember the guy's name, but Shootout at Medicine Bow. These guys all they're impostering Puritan brothers.
What about some modern day ones like Unforgiven or Tombstone?
Tombstone is good. Unforgiven, yeah, it's not bad. That's not bad. I really mostly watch older stuff. I couldn't even tell you like a new modern movie. Like the last modern movie I was made to watch was
Made to watch. Yeah.
What was the name? It was cute. It was an okay movie. It was called, it's got, who did it have? What's that guy's name? Oh, come on.
Oh, you're thinking of Batman Returns, Michelle Pfeiffer?
No. The guy that's, he's a tree and he talks. Then there's a little raccoon looking thing.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy.
There you go. Guardians of the Galaxy. Yep. And then there's the crazy guy. He talks in metaphors.
Yeah.
That was okay, man. But I just don't have a flavor for this new stuff. I've been ruined by predictive programming knowledge, right?
Right.
So when I watch something, it's, you know, Mama Tiger hates watching TV with me.
Right. All right. Well, what about top five Clint Eastwood? Doesn't even have to be his westerns either. It could be like Dirty Harry.
Oh, dude. The original Dirty Harry is excellent. High Impacts, and I think that was one of the Dirty Harry, one of the movies. The whole Dirty Harry series, dude. I mean, wait a minute now. Now for hilarity, there is the Any Which Way You Can movie.
Okay.
With Clyde, where he defecates in the cop car. I love it. He rips doors off and he makes fools of bikers. I'm not bikers. I am not a fan of 1% biker criminal gangs.
My Hell's Angels.
Yeah, I'm not. They're all scumbags. Right. What's the difference? Well, basically, they're like Hoover vacuum cleaners. They keep the dirt bag on the outside. They give other bikers a bad name. Sorry.
Hey, right. What's the newer one he did? It's not El Camino. What was it? It's
El Torino.
Oh yeah, that was a good movie. I like that one. Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah, El Torino, where he was the old racist, right?
I guess it was.
Well, no. Well, that's
a bitter old.
It was depicted like that. Yeah, but they did that on purpose.
Right. They were trying to because what was it? The Korean family moves in next door, and he.
I guess you're right. Yeah.
But he befriends the little boy though, right? If I remember right.
Yeah, he gives him the car, don't he?
He does. And you want to know a little fun fact? Originally, when they were developing that movie, that script, that was gonna be a Dirty Harry movie. But Dirty Harry in his old age.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Then they retooled it after they couldn't get the rights, or Clint kind of wanted to let Dirty Harry rest with that last movie, The Deadpool from the 80s, which actually had Guns N' Roses in it before they were famous. Like, they're all in that. And Jim Carrey was in it, too. The Deadpool. Yeah, that's El Torino. Yeah, and I think that was the last movie that he acted and directed. It was one of those things. I know recently he did yet another one called The Mule, I think. But he's looking
Two Mules for Sister Sarah.
Boom. That's a great movie.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah. Yeah. And I keep wanting to say The Great Escape, but that was Charlie Bronson and James Garner. Mm-hmm. Steve McQueen, another great movie too.
Yeah, The Magnificent Seven is one of the movies you can. I mean, you got all the stars in that, man. Yeah. Charles Bronson, Yul Brynner, who I guess he was a real idiot in life. Who else is in there?
Lee Van Cleef in that? Lee Van Cleef in Magnificent Seven? I can't remember.
No, he was not. And you know what, dude? You're killing me, because Sabata by Lee Van Cleef should be in my top five westerns too. I love that. I love Sabata.
Well, Lee Van Cleef was so great that John Carpenter put him in Escape from New York. He's the antagonist to Snake Plissken.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Jason?
Oh, I was going to ask, what was it, High Plains Drifter? What's the one where Clint was throwing the dynamite at the gold mine, the water gold mine?
Was that High Plains Drifter?
It was where he
threw dynamite in a couple of movies.
Well, there was one where he came in just like he was like death. On the pale horse, you know.
Oh yeah, and, High Plains Drifter, I think. Yeah.
Remember that was High Plains Drifter or which one? Yeah, I've seen so many of these.
It definitely wasn't.
Are you talking about the one? I'm sorry, Chris. Go on.
No, go for it.
Are you talking about the one in the mining town? He's like a preacher, and he's in a
mining town. He's got the rope scar neck because he got hung to death, but and it was covered by the collar. Which one was that?
And he was like a ghost, right?
Yeah. It turns out he was like death coming to like free the town from the evil people.
the Grim Reaper, right?
Well, that's a really weird one because the other one, is it High Plains? I'm looking it up now.
I thought it was High Plains.
The one where they paint the town red. You guys remember that one?
Yeah. That might be the same one.
Actually. Okay, that one, he was the ghost. A lot of people don't know this. If you watch at the end and the little midget guy goes, Malachi, he goes, what's your name? And Clint looks at him, he goes, you know my name. And then as he's walking off, riding off, he gets further and further away, but not so far away that you can't see him. And then he disappears. So he was the ghost of that marshal. I'm looking at it right now. We'll get it
that's,
straight.
That's how it ends. Yep.
I think it's High
Point. Another Western I like was not Silverado. You guys said Silverado. What the heck was that?
No, I don't think anyone said that. That was
The Quick and the Dead. Quick and the Dead. Right. And it had Danny Glover in it. Remember that one with Danny Glover?
Was Danny Glover in the Quick and the Dead?
Yes, no. In the original one, yes. He was one of the first black dudes I saw in a Western.
The Quick and the Dead had Gene Hackman in it, too, right?
Well, maybe them.
Because it was Sam Raimi that directed the Quick and the Dead.
I don't know. We had three movies on VHS, and one was Quick and the Dead.
That's a great one. Yeah, that was Sam Raimi that directed Evil Dead and Spider-Man and stuff. That was like the only Western he ever did. And Bruce Campbell makes a cameo in that, too.
Well, in the one I'm thinking of, Danny Glover, he is like a sniper, and he sets the town off by shooting a piece of dynamite's wick with his lever action at the end of the movie.
Danny Glover in the Quick and the Dead? Now I got to look it up.
I'll look it up.
Well, while you're looking it up, High Plains Drifter is the one where they paint the town red, and Pale Rider is the one where he's the preacher and he goes to the mining town where all the shenanigans are going on.
And what's the one
Rhonda Tate says Glover was in Silverado.
Silverado.
Maybe it was Silverado. Then,
and Lonesome Dove. But he was in Lonesome Dove, too, I believe.
Yeah, Silverado was the one with Michael Biehn and everything, right? From
The Quick and the Dead. I'm looking at the IMDb now. That's Gene the other Hackman, movie. Right?
Yes, yeah, it's Gene Hackman, right? And Leonardo DiCaprio. Russell Crowe. Yeah, Russell Crowe is in The Quick and the Dead, too. And Sam Raimi directed, the guy who made Evil Dead and Spider-Man and all that. Yeah. So
Quick and the Dead, I'm looking
at. Pat Hingle. Rhonda is going to love that. Pat Hingle was in Quick and the Dead, too.
And Sam Elliott was a badass in Roadhouse, just saying.
Well, yeah, he was also in Big Lebowski, right? He was the cowboy. He's like, here's the dude. That's the dude. Sam Elliott, yeah. But anyway, Clint Eastwood, like you look at Escape from Alcatraz. I thought that was a really well-made feature film.
Yes.
That 1979. Yeah. Escape from Alcatraz. And I actually, with the JFK assassination, you know, the anniversary upon us, I went back and watched a movie I totally forgot about where they actually used younger footage of Clint as a Secret Service agent in charge of protecting JFK, and he's there in Dallas, and the whole idea is that he failed JFK, and JFK gets assassinated by Lee Harvey, whatever. And then 30 years later, John Malkovich plays this sniper wannabe that's like taunting him, Clint's character, by threatening the latest president and wanting to commit another assassination. And then it was called In the Line of Fire. I don't know if you guys remember that. That was from like 93, 92. Yeah, In the Line of Fire. But they used like old CGI, like that Forrest Gump kind of CGI with JFK. They used that to take like the old footage of Clint from the 60s, the spaghetti westerns, and they make him into one of JFK's like Secret Service guys, like, and they say he's the one that failed, you know, that was like the whole idea there. But anyway, what do you got coming up, Franco, for your shows?
Well, I had a very special guest lined up, and I think he's ill, so I'm playing it by ear with him. But I just messaged everybody in our addiction group to see how many of them may be able to come on this Wednesday. So the day before Thanksgiving, but if that doesn't happen and we can't pull it together, I'll come up with something. I really haven't thought of anything. I just put my feet on the ground from the financial report yesterday. And I with the guest being up, you know how it is when you have a guest up in the air, and he's a bigger guest. So if say he, I'd see this is the folly of being a podcaster. If this guy says tomorrow that he can come on Wednesday, I hate to tell my addiction people, but this guy's a very busy guy and I have to take what I can get from him. You know what I mean? And I'm sure they'll all understand because they're all friends, but. So I don't have anything planned, but if I don't have him, it'll be a rip roaring Thanksgiving episode. I might invite a bunch of people on, you and Jason Barker and anybody
else. I'll come on, man.
Yeah,
we'll just talk about Thanksgiving.
Most definitely. Yeah. Well, I wanted to let everyone know here. I was able to send Billy Ray Valentine an MP3 of an old Get Mad with Chris Graves episode. So that should be on Free World coming up at 10, I believe, because we're still working out the logistics of the application that allows you to broadcast and everything. It's called Butt. I'm not joking.
Did you get Butt? Did you get any Butt?
I didn't use the Butt.
I use the what is the one we use?
I'm using the old radio broadcaster one. And it works good. It seems like Butt has a lot of stinky problems.
It's kind of a butt. Yeah.
Maybe it's constipated.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but anyway.
You're killing me, Tiger.
Yeah. But anyway, next year, folks, I was debating if I was going to talk about this or not, but a little insight. My whole life I've wanted to make movies, right? In like small independent movies, you know, either all kinds of genres, you know, comedies, horror, you know, even an action movie I got in me. I got an old gangster movie in me too with a kick-ass title. And I don't pat myself on the bat. Yeah. I don't do that either. I don't pat myself on the back too much, but yeah, no, it's a pretty cool premise and pretty cool title that no one has actually used yet. But yeah, I got a bunch of movies in me that I would like to get out of me, which sounds really weird, and onto a screen someday. So my whole plan for the last few years was to put together a couple of screenplays, that like some real kick-ass screenplays. And whether I try to get investors to, you know, I put a package together to show investors the potential for the project, that kind of thing. That's an old school route, however you pronounce that. And, you know, get investors, kind of like what the guys that made Evil Dead did. They went to a bunch of dentists in Michigan, Dearborn, I think, in Michigan. And they were able to get the financing to make The Evil Dead, like one of the coolest low budget horror movies ever made.
Yeah.
And that whole backstory is like its own movie as well. Kind of like Kevin Smith doing, you know, Clerks at the Quick Stop, you know, and that's one of the best, in my opinion, a lot of people's, one of the best independent movies ever made, you know, that got a lot of people want that. And Quentin Tarantino kind of got people wanting to go out and try making their own movies, you know, wherever they worked or whatever they had access to, whether it was their own, you know, homes or their workplace out after, you know, after hours or whatever. So I got a couple of those in me, and I would really like to, not like to, I will get those accomplished. And I think it's going to be next year because I just turned like 68, like last month. So the time's a ticking, you know what I mean? And my heart's a ticking too, barely. You know, I finally got that monitor off and I had to mail that back in. But we'll see what happens. But while it's still ticking, I like to get some of these life goals like accomplished, you know? And to be honest with you, and I'm probably putting a lot of, see, this is good for anyone that, you know, can't sleep well, you know, they just like put on this me babbling thing right now. Guarantee it'll help with insomnia. But anyway, here's the thing. I had this grand plan, right? Someone very near and dear to me, even to this day. And it kills me that I'm far away, very far apart right now, physically. We were supposed to, you know, it, this didn't go exactly to plan the last 10 years or so. But, you know, what does? You know what I mean? That's life, you know. You know, I might be playing a little violin here. I don't mean it to be like that, but just, you know, over the last few weeks and months, just thinking about, you know, the past and everything and the future, you know, because if you dwell in the past, you're sacrificing the present and the future. And there's a whole bunch of bumper sticker cliches in there somewhere, but my brain is so damaged, I can't figure that out right now. But the idea was I only started doing like podcasts and stuff last year to try to get, you know, kind of build up something to do that was going to go into the making of these movies I'd like to get off the ground, you know. And I figured building an audience that actually gave a crap about, you know, what I had to say or some of my ideas or whatever, whatever, just people that were interested or curious. And that was a part of the plan, you know. And I kind of, what I did was I put all my energy into creating these podcasts and not enough energy into the actual ultimate goal at hand. So now I kind of have to have a balancing act right now in terms of updating the screenplays that I have to either try to get crowdfunding or crowdsourcing if investors don't end up not being able to help out or are interested. Maybe what I wrote was crap, you know. You never, that's always a possibility. But the idea of building up an audience in people, like I said, you know, just their awareness is a big thing when you're trying to get even like a comic book, like a independent comic book off the ground or whatever. If you got people that actually give a shit, you know, or, you know, are interested in what you're talking about, because that's what, when I did that Get Mad show, Get Mad with Chris Graves, right? The whole idea behind that was to kind of balance these two worlds that I found myself in, where it was like the entertainment stuff, right? Because I'm a movie buff, music buff, comic book buff, all this stuff. But the other side of the coin and the darker side of the coin was that I happened to have some skills when it came into looking into some pretty dark subjects. Conspiracies, urban legends, you know, just the darker side of humanity. And I never knew I had that, those kind of skills, because I am by no means a computer whiz, but I'm able to find like certain articles or things that other people want hidden, or I just am able to just come up with different ways around it, you know, trying to get information. So I had this whole other thing, and I was introduced to the work of Donald Jeffries, you know, or people like Dave McGowan or Bill Cooper or whatever. And I'm not comparing myself to any of the people I just listed at all. By no means, but I was inspired with that. But I didn't necessarily want to be known for, you know, being Mr. Conspiracy Theory or Mr. Conspiracy Analyst, because a lot of this stuff is in theories. But, and I never was interested in trying to monetize, you know, other people's misery or tragedies or anything like that. And I'm still not interested in. Because some people, it's a cottage industry, a lot of this doom and gloom and everything. And I just, I'm not that guy. Like, I'm interested in getting other people aware of things that were buried or hidden, memory hold, whatever. But this other part of me was like into the arts. Like, I've been writing since the early 1990s. And that is not exactly like 5-10 years ago anymore. That, we're going on 30 something years now. So it's about time that I put up and or shut up when it comes to, you know, the arts and the entertainment. The Get Mad thing was where I had people that I knew that were involved in things like Columbine as witnesses or survivors. I had other people that were JFK experts, come on, things like that. But the other side of it is I would be able to get, you know, people like the director of one of the Friday the 13th movies, like Tom McLaughlin, or the guy who wrote the Jason in Space movie, Todd Farmer or whatever, you know, all these different, I wanted to get, you know, some band members from like Anthrax and stuff like that. I'm still working on that, but I wanted to balance it between the entertainment and the darker conspiracy stuff. And I don't know why I went on that whole rant. I know everyone's tired, but anyway, I guess we could close it out. I appreciate you, everyone that's tuned in right now. Do we have anybody in the chat that is asking anything? Or
oh, we got all kinds of comments, dude. Audie thinks you need to be a Mason to make it big. Karen says you don't need to make it big. You just need to make it your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the key to making it big. You were talking about the Evil Dead, right?
Yeah.
That was a kid. That was a freaking kid that did something crazy camera style that became an iconic genre of the middle 80s, early middle 80s, right? It's like, and like everybody tried to copycat him. And when he did it, do you think that he was trying to do something that was popular? No, he was trying to make it his own, and it became popular. And then we had Evil Dead Part 2. We had, what was the one?
Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness. Yeah. Shop S Smart, right?
Shop S Smart. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but those are classics to this day. People watch them. And that was from a kid doing his own thing. He wasn't trying to copycat nobody. So, yeah, I agree with Karen. Make it your own.
That's what I intend to do. I mean, I grew up with the independent films where you could pretty much do or say whatever you wanted in there. And it wasn't a political thing. And you had a freedom that you don't really have in entertainment in general anymore. You know, it was kind of like punk rock was in music, you know.
Well, that's going to be the hard part today is everything is freaking woke. Comedy is dead. Entertainment is dead. And just like with podcasting, they'll shut you down before you get off the ground. So we got to really have this kind of underground group of people that will support. That's the only way. I think everything is so melded into a uniform, homogenous, gray, vanilla kind of thing now.
Yeah. I don't have woke material in me. I just don't. So
Audie wants to know the director's name.
Sam Raimi.
There you go.
All from Michigan, where Mr. Angry Tiger hails from.
Yes, sir. The Dirty Glove. Hey, you know, Chris.
Yeah.
You said something, dude, that, you know, you're going to balance it. You need to follow your dreams.
Yeah.
You know, life is short. Time is a valuable commodity. I wasted a lot of it in my life. And you also said something, you know, that not to dwell on the past because then you can't move forward. And you're right about that. You know, it is a bitter thing when you look back and you feel like you've wasted time. You know, and I can say I don't look back to those times because I've done enough of that to know I wasted so much time. So going forward, I try to make the best use of the time that I have. And I get what you're saying. I have to say, other than the auto body stuff's a job to me, the cars, I'm not a car guy. I had a hot rod when I was younger, but I don't like working on cars at home. I don't have a hot rod because I don't want to work. I don't like it. I don't like cars. I hate cars. All right. I mean, it's just, I'm good at it. You know, I'm very talented at it. But the things I enjoyed making a living out of most in life were things that I loved. You know, fireworks was one of them. That is a labor of love. It's basically moving boxes around. That's the premise of the firework business. Another one was I was in the cannabis market. And it's not just, oh, I love to get high or smoking weed or any of that stuff. I loved growing things. So I was able to take that skill and that love of growing things and apply it to something that was financially, you know, fortuitous at the time. So if you follow your dreams, a lot of people say, don't do that. You know, you're wasting your, no, you're not wasting your time. You're doing what you're supposed to do in life. And it's scary. It's a scary thing when you step out on your own. It's like, you know, stepping out on that diving board, you're like, I could lose everything. I could gain nothing. I things could get worse. What am I doing? You know, not stable money, not this, not that. You're following your dreams. And that really will drive a person, dude. So I want to see you.
And that's winning. Things. That's truly winning.
Yes.
You're doing what you want and you're not compromising and you're not answering to someone else. Then you're not wasting time. Then you're doing exactly what you should be doing or what you're supposed to be doing, you know?
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, man.
You know, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, okay, we all kind of have, you know, well, I was kind of doing the 9-to-5 thing, right? I'm kind of done with that. Tiger works for himself. Now I kind of like floating in the breeze here. Chris, you're kind of doing your own thing. Yeah. The people who seem to have it made, they go to their 9-to-5 every day and they wake up, they go to work, they come home, they go to sleep, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. At the end of their life, they didn't really live life. So I would just say that when, you know, we deal with these struggles and, you know, trying to find our way and stuff like that, that is adventure. That is life. And we got to be thankful that we're at least living life and not stuck in some cycle that by the time we're 80 years old and about to die, we're like, what did I do with my life? You know, we all have a backstory. We have stuff that we struggled with and we overcame, of course, because we're here. We overcame it, right? So right. That's stuff that we can be proud of. You know, I know pride's not the best thing to have when it comes to God, but you know, you could be happy that you've done something other than just what the system says you're supposed to do to be the drone, you know? So I just want to say, I'm thankful for that.
I can never do that. So,
right.
I wasn't meant to do certain things, you know, and that's not putting down anybody that does that, you know, but I've had dreams and things, and it's time that they're not dreams anymore. I do something about it and not just tell people about, because that's all I really did for the longest time is just talk. Talk is cheap, but doing something worthwhile, that's,
you know, the difference between a dream and a goal is just having a timeline set, having a plan. Oh, right. That's it. If you set a plan and you set time, you know, break it into chunks and set timelines, it's no longer a dream. It's actually a plan, and it can happen. You can do anything you want to do.
So I'll close with this. I would just like to get both of your opinions here. And it's not a go green. Let's go green. Everything. It's not a political thing, but I have one. I got an environmental horror movie anthology, kind of like a creep show where it's multiple stories in one movie. And it's not a go green. Green is in the title. I don't want to give the title away. Right. I think I told Gard Goldsmith already about all this stuff. And the other one is a werewolf tale that is kind of different than other werewolf tales. That's the only reason I really like to do that one, because I also tied it in with what was in the news at the time. And usually any horror movie worth its salt takes whatever's in the news at that time and kind of applies it to the story. And I took the homeless encampments in California during the lockdowns, and I kind of connected it with this whole blood sacrifice, like Illuminati kind of thing. And I weaved it into the research I was doing about the werewolf trials in Europe that no one really talks about, kind of like the witch trials over here. People were being accused of being werewolves over in Europe hundreds of years, way before Salem even. So I took all that in female werewolves as well. And that's the other one. So I got the environmental horror anthology, and then I got this werewolf one. Obviously, I can only put all my energy into one at a time. I'd like to get them both back to back. Which one sounds more enticing to the both of you? Yeah, or maybe none of them do. And
if you can get Greta Thunberg on board, I would go with that.
How dare you? How
dare you? And it just like blows people's heads up, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. She has Mother Nature. Yeah, no. They're both pretty creepy, though.
No, I like the werewolf. I like the werewolf.
I'm partial to the lycanthrope, so.
Yeah, I kind of like the whole beast thing. And the werewolf thing hasn't really been done that great since the 80s, in my opinion, with The Howling and American Werewolf in London, kind of like that back in the day. Those were actually scary and stuff. I'm not talking Twilight or anything like that. So those are the two. Karen
Carpenter says McGowan-style horror.
Yeah. Ooh.
Now, one thing I do like about the green thing, and I know you didn't drop too much about what it's about, I like the idea of mini stories.
It's like an anthology, like the movie Creepshow. Yeah. It has five stories in one, and four of them are regular tales, right? But they're all wrapped around with a framing device of the Stephen King's son actually plays the little boy in the wraparound where he gets the comic book that has Creepshow. It's the Creepshow comic book. And he sends away for, spoiler alert, folks, he sends at the very end of the movie, he sends away for, in the back of the comic book, a voodoo doll, and it's of his father. So his father didn't want him to get the comic to begin with. So it's like the little boy's revenge. So you see him, you know, stabbing the.
All right, that's coming off of my watch list.
Anyway, so it's got a framing device. So my little, it's not a go green thing at all, but it does, you know, touch upon. I kind of came to that because I was talking to the same person that, like I mentioned earlier, that is the most, you know, one of the most important people on the planet to me. Very much so. She was telling me about how there were stories about, they were reporting on that the ocean was on fire off the coast of California. And originally I was calling it The Ocean's on Fire, but I changed it to this other title. So that's the idea, that all kinds of like environmental horror stuff, but not like in your face political crap. I can't do that. And that's
no, that actually happened recently. No, did you guys know that actually happened recently when they cleaned up the streets of San Francisco for Xi Jinping, whoever came
down?
Oh,
yeah.
They and all the poop was floating on the water. It caught on fire.
That's the third act of the.
No. Yeah, that's the third. That's act number two.
That's the teaser trailer for the whole movie. Yeah.
You play that poop monster high on heroin attacks.
Oh, my God.
Toilet paper factory.
I'm sorry. I had to go there.
The TP, TP, we won't go to TP. That's a number two thing. But anyway, I love you both, and you and people and everyone in the chat. And for obvious reasons, I just don't want to say exactly what it is, but I'm forever in debt to all of yous. And you guys proved to me that there's not just shit bags in the world, and you guys know what I'm talking about. And I let certain things get to me, and you kind of got jaded and forgot that there were decent people still, since I was in the hospital and everything. So I just wanted to thank you and everyone else for that. So, all right. So I guess, how about you guys plug yourself, which sounds really weird and impersonal. Where I hear people go, "Hey, yeah, just plug yourself."
Well, don't plug the butt, radio.
What is with you with this butt? Don't I'm plug sorry. The butt. That's a bumper sticker right there. I'll tell you that.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm being a naughty tiger tonight. Put me in the cage.
If I had the sound effects, I'd be doing all kinds of stuff.
Right this now. Is as raunchy as I get, ladies. If I said anything seriously, though, I'm serious. If I offended any of the ladies in the chat, I apologize.
How dare you? Well. I mean, I think Paula Abdul will be okay with it, right?
Oh my goodness. You guys are killing me.
Not enough of that. Anyway. Thank you. Yeah. So you're talking about the butt. Yeah. Go on.
Jason, where can we find Jason Barker?
Okay. First off, I want to say, Chris, before you sent that heart monitor back, I hope you zapped it with a taser and said that it couldn't keep up with me. Just do that and be like, whoa. But no, I'm still in the foxhole on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Rumble and Twitter. And then, of course, we got Knights of the Storm on Saturdays at, 10 a.m. Eastern, Twitter, yeah. You know, and
Free World. Hey, you are on Free World. You just have to, you're like me. You got to get it situated with the.
I'm kind of in limbo right there. We're trying to get the tech worked out.
You're in the butt. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the butt. Like what?
I am
in
too. The butt.
But hey, exciting news. I kind of, right about a year ago, I actually got us on all the podcasting platforms, but I went to the wrong anchor point and it kind of jacked me up. So I spent the last 24 hours unscrewing that and I got it tied to, what is it? Not Podbean. It's Spotify now. So now I think I'm good. The link should be up on the website. You can catch Knights of the Storm. And I also have, it's not linked there, but you can find them on the same platforms. You can find Foxhole on there. So if you want to listen after the fact and kind of like listen in the car, it's on there now. So, and we're going to get, Chris, we're going to get you hooked up too with that. We're going to work together and Tiger helped me We're all going to work together to make sure we make that shit happen. Oh, sorry for the language.
Right. Yeah, we already said shit anyway. He said shit. He was talking about, well, yeah. Franco was talking to him all about the butt stuff. So
yeah, I got really right? crazy.
Well, you both have Substacks. Where can people find you on that? Both of you.
Look up the Foxhole. You can find me. Just knightsofthestorm.com. Theknightsofthestorm.com. You can find everything right there. Boom.
Substack. And I'm
dropping the mic.
How about you? How about you, Franco?
You guys know me. I'm Angry Tiger. You can find me on Rumble, Angry Tiger's Den. You can find Angry Tiger's Den on BitChute and all the podcast platforms, like Jay just said.
You're on BitChute now too, huh?
Huh?
You're on BitChute yep. as well. Yep. Okay. All right. Yeah. Because I heard they were having problems a little while back or whatever.
I'm not sure, but I just wanted to make sure that people who had seen me in other places were able to find me again. And a lot of them were finding me on BitChute. And it was really cool last night. I had a lot of people from other places found my Rumble channel, which was really cool. Thanks to people like you, Chris, that allow me to plug on the show. And one of the things that's a new thing is on freeworld.fm, I do an exclusive live radio show for them. And that is absolutely a blast. It's not as intense about the politics or the finances or any of the
you had some high energy on this past Saturday, and it was pretty cool.
Well, it's a lot of fun, yeah, because I'm talking about stuff that I think can help people and stuff that I know about, and you know, I'm passionate about this stuff. So it's Tiger Tales on freeworld.fm, and that's on Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. They do the replay of the show the week before on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern. So, and then on Substack, you can find me on Angry Tiger's newsletter.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Thank you, gentlemen. And you guys, I hope you both have a great Thanksgiving. And people can find me on Twitter, I think, if they want to. I had some brain damage. So let me.
The Graves mask guy.
Oh, yeah. That one. What he said. Yeah. Well, everyone, have a great night. And seriously, I dig all of yous. Get it? You dig me? You get it?
Nice.
Dig? I'm going to just say dig.
I'm digging Chris Graves.